Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Kawaii Douglas.
Oh, yeah? That's your new nickname.
No. I just wanted to try it out.
Yeah? Kawaii.
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 Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that people usually call me cute, though, which is what kawaii essentially means in Japanese.
Hmm. Yeah, what is it? What is cute? What does it mean to be cute? As a person, as a thing? Like, what does that label mean within our culture?
Well, I think in the United States, it's more of an outward appearance. Whereas in Japanese culture, it is sort of this whole industrial complex of absolute cuteness.
Yes, yes, definitely. In Japan, kawaii is big business and has been for decades now. But certainly cute holds a lot of power here in the States as well, throughout most of the rest of the world. I mean, even just looking around in this room, we can see some little bits of cute peeking their way in. There's a wooden monkey over there on Noel's desk. There's
Pablo Picasso in his underwear, a picture of Pablo Picasso in his underwear.
Yes, I don't know how cute that is. But the monkey's cute. To a limited extent, the dinosaur's cute. And if you go around our desk, like any workplace, you're going to find various totems of cute, various little icons of cuteness that to some degree empower the individual who has it.
That's right. So we are going to explore this concept of kawaii, and we're going to do it through a couple of different vectors here, one of which is, of course, one of the big exports of the internet. I'm not talking about porn, but the other thing, cats.
Cats, yes. Yeah, so it should come as no surprise to anyone that, of course, the internet is full of cat videos, cat photos, cat memes, images, GIFs, you name it. I mean, in any given day, you're probably bombarded with at least two or three of these things, right? And if you're actively seeking them out, if you're actively consuming them, then there's no end in sight. You could get on a kick one day and just keep going till you starve to death.
You could. You would just fall down that cat wormhole.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. You can fill your head with all these sorts of images. And actually, there is an artificial neural network that Google's X Laboratory and Stanford University have been working on. And again, this is a large-scale neural network. It's distributed across 16,000 processor cores. And researchers trained models with more than 1 billion connections. And they found that this network, when it sort of ran off on its own, it learned how to identify a cat after a week of watching YouTube videos. That is how prevalent this subject is on the internet.
Yeah, they fed it random thumbnails of images, each one extracted from 10 million YouTube videos, and it ends up having to basically invent the concept of the cat. In processing all of this data, figuring out, all right, what's at the heart of this? What is this about? What is all this data telling me? It is telling me this is a cat. This is the form of the cat. And then everything else stems from that.
And so you have someone like philosopher Dan Dennett who's talking about these sort of super normal stimuli. And he's talking about super normal stimuli like chocolate cake. He's saying that there are certain things in our environment that we see that really get us ramped up, and that cats, babies, these all may be the sort of super stimuli that works on this sort of evolution and instinctual preference. So if you look at a chocolate cake, for instance, that is a high energy food, right?
Yes.
You like the chocolate cake, not because it's chocolate cake, but because you know that it's going to be a huge shot of glucose, and that, you know, from an evolutionary perspective, that would be helpful for us to have stores of that, right?
Yes, because in the ancient past, of course, a big chocolate cake was hard to come by. Or certainly that much sugar, that much energy in one place was hard to come by. You had to jump on it. And the chocolate cake example is great, too, because if anyone remembers back to our episodes on decision fatigue,
mm-hmm.
and neural load and how we carry that through the day, the experiments that studied it, most of the time they seem to incorporate chocolate cake in one form or another, using that as the temptation to your willpower, to your problem solving ability. Let's see what happens when we throw a chocolate cake in your direction, not literally, though that would be awesome as well, but we'll put it in your vicinity and see how it affects your brain power.
And lo and behold, it just really tinkered with people's ability to think rationally.
Yeah, because suddenly I have to at least resist it. In a way, it's like I have to fight that chocolate cake. It's like you're going through a dungeon and you're trying to get to the treasure, and then you have to fight a troll along the way. It's the same thing, except the battle's taking place inside your mind as you try to resist the irresistible glucose temptation of the cake.
So Dennett would say that a super normal stimuli for cuteness, of course, would be babies. He says it's important that we love babies, that we not be put off by, say, messy diapers. He says, so babies have to attract our affection and our nurturing, and they do. And so that's when you begin to really look at not just babies, but cats and puppies and really anything that embodies this idea of innocence and vulnerability and this sort of parental instinct that we'll talk a little bit more about. But this is this idea that cats perhaps have arrested our attention because of this instinct.
Because they look like babies, essentially. And then play it up, too, as we've discussed before, crying in a way that mimics the cries of a baby, etc.
Yes. Now, I wanted to mention this because we are going to go dive into this kawaii. We're going to dive more into cats and the culture of cats on the internet. But there's something called cute aggression. And I think, I don't know, part of me is sort of, you know, one eyebrow raised about this study.
Yeah, it just sounds like a Tumblr page. It's actually a study, actually a theory. Okay.
Yeah. So Rebecca Dyer, she's a grad student in psychology at Yale University, took 109 people, and she had them look at pictures of animals. The categories were cute, funny, and neutral photos, actually specifically of puppies. And then the participants rated how they felt about the pictures, agreeing or disagreeing with statements like, I just can't handle it, meaning the cuteness, or whether or not it made them want to squeeze something, or if they were seized with the impulse to vocalize after seeing one of these pictures, like, so cute. Yeah. So researchers found that the cuter the animal, the more aggressive the response.
Okay.
Okay. So now they follow up with a nonverbal study. And participants are given bubble wrap, and they're told to just go to town with it, okay? And they watch a slideshow of cute and then funny and then neutral pictures of animals. And then, lo and behold, what you find is that more bubbles were popped during the cute slideshows as opposed to the funny pictures of animals or the neutral pictures of animals. Now, the data is not that crazy. I mean, we're talking about 120 pops for the cuteness, 80 pops for the funny, and only 100 for the neutral. So, you know, the data here is not like putting this strong information out there to say like people are just bursting with cute aggression and, you know, but they are saying, Rebecca Dyer at least is saying, it could be the sort of pent-up frustration at not being able to reach through those photos and cuddle that baby or that puppy.
Yeah, because you just want to touch it. You want to bite it.
Well, and that's what we've talked about that mm-hmm. before, how sometimes there are these, there are people who will say, that baby's so cute, I just want to eat it.
Yeah, and on some level, you actually do. On some level, you're being fooled into equating the baby's cuteness and the face of the baby, the shape of the baby, the babiness of the creature, equating it with something you would actually gorge on if found in the forest.
Which is kind of awful.
Yeah.
All right. Well, on that note, maybe we should take a break here. And when we get back, we'll get more into this idea of Kauai.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
All right, we're back. You know, another thing about that study, I'd never heard of a study using the bubble wrap method before. I really hope that becomes standardized to the point where we see movies about serial killers, where like a potential serial killer is being forced to look at, you know, accident photos to mm-hmm. see if he gets a rise out of him. And so it's like, you know, an Anthony Hopkins, Hannibal-like character sitting there with a grim face, watching grim footage, and then popping bubble wrap.
And it just becomes really so much a part of how we determine unconscious thoughts that even the CIA begins to use it, right?
Yeah, just orders with like vast reams of the stuff, yeah.
And then people are probably more willing participants, because who doesn't love to pop bubble wrap?
Everyone loves it. Even dogs love it.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's satisfying. All right, Kauai. We touched on it at the beginning of the episode, but I kind of see it. This is very reductionist because it really, we could do an entire podcast on Japanese culture in Kauai. But it's sort of this Hello Kittyization.
Hello Kitty is certainly the easiest example and certainly the most widespread example of Japanese culture, Kauai, cute culture. Because it's everywhere now, and it's the big eyes, it's the cute creature, and it also has that sort of Japanese schoolgirl quality to it. Like, mm-hmm. And then that's according to some cultural historians, that's kind of the origin of the kawaii movement in Japan. Anyway, that it you go back to the 1970s, you mm-hmm. find this kitten writing, this cute handwriting they call it among
which
the school
banned
girls.
In schools, right?
Yeah, because
initially.
It wasn't really all that readable. I mean, it got you know to the point where it's just big round characters and faces and stars, and the teachers were saying, no, this is not actual writing. But then it blows up. It starts showing up in comic. I mean, not in comic books, but in magazines. But then mm-hmm. ultimately in Magna and other forms, and eventually becomes this huge industry with stuff like Hello Kitty, which is just all over the world and attached to so many different products.
Yeah, and if you look really deeply into Kauai, you will begin to see that it's not just the products, the clothing, even food items, or even some of the logos that are on airplanes in some government entities, mm-hmm. but it's also behavior and mannerism among both genders. Mm-hmm. And it really is this preoccupation with not just cuteness, but youth and innocence. So it's this sort of an arrested development. I look at it that way. Not yeah. the TV show, but in terms of, you know, trying to stave off aging and all of the sort of responsibility and perhaps the less fun aspects of life as you get older.
Yeah, and then probably encapsulates a lot of nostalgia as well. As you grow older, you end up still attaching these cute icons and this kawaiification of just about every aspect of life, and therefore you keep it kind of tethered to youth and tethered to youth culture.
You know, what's interesting about that, too, is that if you seize onto this idea of kawaii and you seize onto this idea of embodying these aspects of cuteness and big-eyedness and innocence, then perhaps in a way you're thinking to yourself, on a subconscious level at least, you know, I will be more protected out there in society, which then brings up this whole idea of, you know, how do we really, how much of this parental response is responsible for our behavior in the way that we interact with things that are cute.
Now, another bit of Japanese cuteness that instantly comes to mind is the lucky cat, which you find it all over Asia, and you find it increasingly everywhere in the United States as well. Of course, the little, generally like a gold plastic cat, big eyes, and it's waving its little paw mm-hmm. in the air. These are officially called Maneki Neko, or beckoning cats. And I was looking up some stuff about it because I'm wondering, well, how does that tie into cute culture? Because as I suspected, that's older in its roots than Hello Kitty. It dates back to the Edo period, which was between 1603 and 1867. It's just sort of picked up steam over time. So even though we look at the kitten riding in the 70s and the rise of Hello Kitty is sort of the real pivotal aspects of mm-hmm. Kauai, I feel like the roots were already there, if nowhere else in the presence of cats.
I think you're right. Now I have this idea of, you know, the thousands of years from now, will people look back at, you know, instead of us saying, oh, the Ming Dynasty saying, you know, the rise of the Hello Kitty Dynasty, yeah. because that really is how pervasive Kauai is. And I think in the United States here, we have flavors of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just look around, as you say, like, you know, we look around our office and we can see that it's interwoven into
yeah.
the way that we decorate or we perceive certain aspects
we
of
have
our life.
At least two adult members of the staff who are Disney fanatics. And there's a lot of kawaii tied up there.
Mm-hmm.
And again, just about every other desk has some sort of token, some sort of little bit of kawaii. I feel like if you look closely enough, if you root through their stuff, I mean, really get in there and invade their privacy, you'll find some bit of cute that is keeping them going.
That sounds kind of specific.
Yeah.
What have you found?
Oh, all sorts of stuff. I'll show you later. I have a box.
Okay. So you're probably wondering to yourself, are there any studies that can support this cuteness that can kind of give us a better idea of why we react to this stuff the way we do?
Of course there is, because, you know, we're talking about cute. We're talking about the way that a kitten's face is cute to us, mm-hmm. because it is reminiscent of the baby's face. And then what happens when we look at the baby, right? That's the question. Well, there have been studies that have looked at that. We have the technology, of course, to look inside the brain to see how what kind of neural activity is going on when we do different things. And there's one particular study that we were looking at here, and this was this involved the use of a MEG scanner, and they were looking at parental responses to both puppy faces and baby faces.
And then unfamiliar adult faces, right?
Yes.
Okay, and the really startling thing about this study is that when participants were looking at all of these pictures, within 1/7 of a second, just a split second, literally, the medial orbital frontal cortex, which is involved in emotional responses, lit up like a pinball machine when people look at infant and puppy faces, but was pretty, you know, relatively silent when adult faces showed up. So Kringelbach, Morten Kringelbach, who ran the study, calls this the parental instinct. And he says these responses are almost certainly too fast to be consciously controlled and are therefore perhaps instinctive. That's his idea about it.
Yeah, because we're talking about milliseconds here. We're talking about just an instant of seeing that baby face, that puppy face, and you are suddenly pacified. You're maybe put out of an aggressive spirit or an irritated spirit, and you have to somehow help the poor larval human or dog.
Yeah, and the thing is that it even goes beyond visual processing, because people who are blind from birth have the same areas activated in their brains when they hear the names of animals. So the concept of animals or how we've painted them in language just goes far beyond just pictures here.
Yeah.
The idea is really standing in for the experience.
So that study makes a lot of sense. I mean, again, it just ties in directly to the way we look at an infant, at a kitten, at a puppy,
mm-hmm.
and how we instantly want to care for it on some level. And I feel like we all buy into that really easily. But here's another idea that a 2012 Japanese study looked at, and this one was published in PLOS-1. They were asking, well, if I look at something cute, how does it affect my attentiveness?
Mm-hmm.
Which that question makes me think of all these things that we surround ourselves with, these icons of cute, like the cute little lamp that I have on my desk. It's like a little face that I got at IKEA years ago. What happens when I look at that? Is it making me more relaxed? Is it making me more attentive? Is it just a distraction? Is all this cute just a distraction? Well, in this study, they looked into this. They took participants and they viewed animal images, and then they tested them to see how they performed on various tasks.
Mm-hmm.
And they found that participants who viewed infant animal images, ones that were rated particularly cute, they were able to perform tasks better than those who viewed images of boring adult animals.
So it's interesting, right? Because you're like, well, is it really possible that if I look at a cute object or a cute picture that I'll be able to better, you know, concentrate on the task before me? But I
will. And indeed hang in there as the cute cat hanging from the branch.
Oh, dear.
Would want to convey to you.
I like how you get that.
Yeah.
That was nice stuff. But the thing is that each group of participants consisted of less than 50 university students. And I think they did three different versions mm-hmm. of these attention tests. And then all of these 50 university students were between the ages of 18 and 22. And so this is also taking place in Japanese culture, where you know the kawaii effect is much more pronounced.
Yes.
Which leads some people to say, perhaps there's not really that much evidence here that cuteness could bolster your attentiveness.
Yeah, because if this held true, you would just want to cutify everything. You'd want little cute faces and animals just crawling all over just everything in your work life, everything at home, just until you're just there's just an overdose of cute all the time just to keep you attentive.
And I have to say that might be distracting at that point.
Yeah.
All right, so what about cuteness in a robot? And I'm not talking about you, Arnie. Sorry. But I'm talking about Kismet the robot. And we've actually met Kismet before here on at least in the episodes that we've described. Kismet is a robot that has been used at MIT, and mm-hmm. it is used to figure out sort of the psychological ramifications of interactions between humans and robots. specifically children.
It kind of looks like a skinless robot, Mogwai,
yes.
or Furby.
Yeah, Furby, definitely. It's got the furry ears. It's got huge eyes. Mm-hmm. And it can make a lot of distinctive faces that interact with the person.
Yeah, and it works. I think it works really well because it's not an attempt at a human face.
No.
So you don't have to get into that possibility of uncanny valley.
Yeah.
It's instead this non-human, but it has human qualities to it, and then it is successfully making all these various faces and conveying emotion.
And at the bottom of this, there's just cuteness. That's what reigns supreme about this robot, other than its ability to interact with humans. So, what do? You take this robot and you insert it into a study, which is headed up by Terry Burnham at Harvard University, along with Brian Hare. They pitted 96 volunteers against each other anonymously in games where they had to donate money or withhold it. It's sort of the classic scenario we've seen over and over again. They can donate it into a communal pot, and that would yield the most money, but only if other people donated too. So the researchers split the group into two. Half made their choices undisturbed at computer screens, while the other half were faced with a photo of this absolute adorable Kismet. Now, the players who gazed at Kismet gave 30% more to the pot than others, and Burnham and Hare believe that at some subconscious level, they were aware of being watched, or they sort of took that as being watched, just looking at this photo. But it may have something also to do with our brain kind of carrying out this decision-making with this representation of cuteness in front of us.
Yeah, because how hard and selfish can you be in the presence of, like, a really cute kitten or an adorable baby? Not so much even in the processing of it, of thinking, oh, this is cute, and, you know, that melts my heart a little bit. But in those microseconds mm-hmm. that we talked about of seeing this cute image, and that, you know, against every fiber in your body, any defense you may have up against that cuteness and against the idea of giving your money away or letting your temper go down a bit, it kind of creeps in past all those defenses and deactivates you.
Well, what I love too is this idea that you could manipulate altruistic behavior with a pair of fake eyeballs, right?
Yes.
Just staring at you. Adorable fake eyeballs.
All right, well, we're going to take one more break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about kawaii and a little bit more about cats.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal, and may lose value.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, we're back.
Okay, so there is a wonderful article from Wired magazine called In Search of the Living, Purring, Singing Heart of the Online Cat Industrial Complex. The author, Gideon Lewis Krauss, cites a couple of different studies to try to explain why cats rule the internet, and it's very interesting.
Yeah, it is a very long discussion of the power of cats, the power of felines, but it is, I would say it's must read for anyone who is a self-aware cat person, because she really gets into like how we interact with the felines, how the felines to a limited extent interact with us, and how this becomes a metaphor for the way we approach life itself.
Yeah, and if you're very interested in Japanese culture, this is also a great way to sort of plunge in and see how that's played out. The first study that was mentioned in this article is a study of internet habits of 216 Missouri University of Science and Technology students. Now, 30% of these students were deemed depressed after they were being after they were surveyed. So there's this sort of, you know, PAT standard survey to assess levels of depression that was administered to them. So they figured out that, you know, within the sample size, 30% of these people are depressed. So they found two things in this internet usage. By the way, they also had access to the amount of activity they had online, not specifically what sites they went to,
but the type
content.
Of activity, like, for instance, file sharing,
yes.
checking their email,
yes.
Surfing the web, looking at images, looking at videos.
Yeah. And so two findings. In general, the more participants score on the survey indicated depression, the more his or her internet usage included those features, as you say. So there was a lot of file sharing, high levels of that, especially with music and movies. And second, they found patterns of internet usage that were statistically high among people with depressive symptoms compared with those without the symptoms. So, for example, people with depressive symptoms tended to engage in a lot of email usage. Mm-hmm. So they were sending emails right and left. And this correlated with some research that was done by psychologists Janet Morhan Martin and Phyllis Schumacher. They found that frequent checking of email rate may relate to high levels of anxiety. And then, of course, that correlates to depressive symptoms.
Well, I can definitely see where checking your email all the time would be depressing, because that's where we get our bills these days. That's where bad news is just as likely to come in via email as it is to come in over the phone.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, just the act doing that over and over again sort of belies this underlying anxiety.
Yes.
That is at the root of all of this. And so the study is really interesting. I won't go into all the different points that correlated with depressive symptoms, but those are just a couple of the highlights. Lewis Krauss, the author of this article on Wired, then looked at this other study, because he felt like these two kind of dovetailed together really nicely. Because first you have the study of just, you know, if you're depressive, then perhaps you're a higher user of the internet, or you
you're watching more videos, and possibly suggested in this article, you're seeking out more cat videos. You're seeking out more cute pet videos, or you're going to cute overload to get that dose of cute fluffiness into your life.
Though he says, you know, that they did not know what exactly the content was, but, you know, it stands to reason that cats would be part of some of that.
Yes.
All right. So the second study, which is called Factors Influencing the Temporal Patterns of Dyadic Behaviors and Interactions Between Domestic Cats and Their Owners, says the conclusion quote, that the higher the proportion of all successful intents to interact with the cat that were due to the cat, the longer was the duration of the interactions. So he says that, in other words, your cat will like you best if you pretend that you don't desperately want to play with it.
I love this study. It has not won a prize with the Ig Nobels, it should. It's a very interesting study and a revealing study, but it reveals something that scientifically that cat owners pretty much already know. That you bring somebody into the house who's allergic to the cat, or does not like the cat, that's who the cat is going to insist on walking on and climbing up on and rubbing against and everything else under the sun. You bring in a toddler who wants nothing more than to pet the cat for hours and hours on end, the cat is going to avoid that child like the plague.
That's right. And it's great that there's finally a study that says this is what's happening here, because all of us have suspected it. The other part of the study was that the more neurotic the cat owner, the more desperate for fuzzy comfort and nuzzly security and unconditional affection, which is essentially what we were just talking about. And then, of course, the briefer of that interaction. So I think it's just important to state that as the owner and the cat, that dynamic. Because Lewis Krauss says, hey, what do we do on the internet all day long? We like things. And then we sit around and we wait for things that we do to be liked. And he says that we check all the analytics and all the retweets. And this is where those cats come in, because cats essentially are us trying to gain approval.
Yes.
So there's this huge symbol of these interactions that we have between us.
Yeah, when the cat shows you attention, you have sort of won that attention. You have to continually re-win that cat's attention, because otherwise, because at any given point in a day, a cat will be like, "Hey, I really want to leave the house and never see you again. Is that cool?" And then that'll happen if you allow it to. And then if the cat remains in your house, you have to sort of play it cool, or sometimes you have to coax the cat and to get the reward of the cute face, of the warmth against your body, the furry feeling of holding the cat, and of course the health benefits. There have been numerous studies that have looked at the health benefits of cat ownership. But then again, the more you chase after it, the more you try and make it your own, the more likely that happiness is going to crawl under the bed and hide from you.
Yeah, and it's sort of like if you seek out these pictures and these videos of cats, then on some level you're courting approval from them. And he says, you know, if you see a picture of a cat and it says, "Oh, hi," it's not, you know, it's the cat's not saying, "Oh, hello, hello, look at me." The cat's saying, "Oh, I didn't see you standing there." It's that sort of attitude. And so I love how he weaves all of this together, this internet usage.
So in that sense, the lucky cat is really a cat video that dates back to the Edo period, because it's a beckoning cat. The cat is waving. The cat is saying, "Hi, hello," and actually acknowledging you, even though it's just a mechanical cat or just even an unmoving image of a cat. It's waving to you. It's beckoning to you, and therefore it's approving of you.
That's interesting. It's like the unrequited love.
Yes.
And finally you have this cat saying, "Yes, come here. I will fold you into my arms."
And then you have somebody that got frustrated and said, "Forget it. I'm not going to try and win these cats' approval anymore. I'm going to make myself one out of stone."
Mm-hmm.
"Or I'm going to make one that actually mechanically waves at me, and that will do it.
It'll be my cat golem."
Yes, cat golem.
Yeah. Clay Shirky has an interesting TED Talk, and he talks about something called cognitive surplus. And then he weaves that into LOL cats. And he says that cognitive surplus is the ability of the world's population to volunteer and to contribute and collaborate on large, sometimes global projects. So he uses LOL cats as an example, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people from all over the world contributing to this one effort, essentially just to make all of us laugh, which
right.
is a great thing. And he says that it is made up of two things, this cognitive surplus. He says that it's the world's free time and talents. And he says the world has over a trillion hours a year of free time to commit to these shared projects. I don't know where he came up with that stat, but that's a lot. And then he says that, you know, we, as a collective power of world-changing behavior, if we can do the LOL cats, that we could potentially, with that those trillions of hours, actually commit it to something that is meaningful. I mean, beyond making all of us laugh, because that is meaningful.
So he's saying, hey, if you've got time to LOL cat, you've got time to cure cancer.
I think he's saying we can all, maybe not cure cancer. But, you know, we could all sort of...
We could at least love each other a little more.
We could love each other a little bit more. We could pool our efforts to try to tackle certain problems that would rely upon individual efforts to give their talents to this one thing. It's an interesting concept.
Yeah.
It's very TED.
It is. It's very TED. Yeah, and it does make me think again of cuteness as an icon, cuteness as an object of worship. A little adorable cat made out of plastic that you put on your desk, and in a sense, you pray to every time you look at it. You're not actually saying any kind of a prayer, but you are looking to it and investing some level of cognitive energy into it and expecting to gain from it.
There you go. I mean, this is as good as it gets when it comes to trying to explain the love of cats, the obsession with cats on the internet, and then touching on this idea of kawaii and the ways in which it colors our perception.
All right, so there you have it. Kawaii, cute. I'm sure everyone has some little bit of insight on this to share, and we would love to hear about it. We'd love to know what is the little icon of cute that empowers you throughout the day, or what is a little bit of cuteness that you absolutely detest and would actually interfere with your productivity during the course of the day. Let us know about that as well. You can find us in all the usual places. StuffToBlowYourMind.com is the mothership, but we're also on Tumblr, Facebook, and Twitter, Google+, YouTube, where we're Mind Stuff Show. And Julie, if they want to send us a good old-fashioned email, where can they do that?
Well, it's really quite easy. All you have to do is send us an email at blowthemind@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.